Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Claude Allen. Claude is the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Good morning, Claude.
Good morning. Good to be here with you today.
Great. And joining us in our conversation is Therese Morin. Good morning, Therese.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Claude, perhaps you could begin by giving us an overview of the mission and the activities of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Be glad to. The Department of Health and Human Services is the United States government's principal agency created to protect the health and welfare of all Americans. And we focus largely on those who least can help themselves, the disabled, the elderly, young people, children. But we impact lives every day, whether it's the food you eat, to the payments that may be made in child support, to when you go to the hospital for the drugs that you may have to take as a result of that. So we cover and impact every person's life in some way, shape, or form every day.
Could you give us a sense of the size of the department, the number of employees, and even the skills and the wide range of things you described?
Sure. The department, we have 65,000 employees, primarily based here in the United States, but we do also, through some of our agencies, have activities internationally. But we are largely consist of a whole range of skills from our employees, from physicians to nurses to health professionals in that regards, to researchers at the National Institutes of Health, to the Indian Health Service, for example, where we have water and sanitation specialists who build water sewage systems on reservations, for example. We also have social workers, caseworkers who work with abused and neglected children. We even have gerontologists, people who work with the elderly. So those would be just a broad range of the type of individuals that we have. And we have just Americans who consider public service an honor and a privilege, and they are working throughout this country, throughout the world, on behalf of the health and well-being of Americans and those that we serve internationally.
Now, Claude, what kind of people other than employees do you have working at HHS?
Well, we do have a lot of contractors. So we partner with major universities, for example, who do much of the work through, for example, National Institutes of Health. Again, much of their work is done what we call extramurally. That means it's outside of the department through the contract process. We also work very closely with some health professionals, dentists, medical providers, nurses, in what we call Indian country, working on reservations in tribal governments, working with them to provide care and services. And so you'll have people who come from all walks of life working with the department. But much of our work is done through contracts. HHS is one of the largest contracting agencies in the government. With more than 300 programs, we can't do it all ourselves.
Now, speaking of doing it all ourselves, what do you do in your role?
Sometimes it depends on what day it is. Today's a good day to ask. My title as the Deputy Secretary implies that I'm the number two person in the department behind Secretary Tommy Thompson, our boss. And as such, I'm also the Chief Operating Officer for the department. My principal job is seeing that the trains run on time at the department. I spend a lot of time in overseeing the day-to-day management of this vast organization that we have. And in doing that, I also focus on some specific issues oftentimes. I focus a lot on issues that impact families, namely issues that impact children, positive youth development issues. I spend a lot of time working on HIV/AIDS issues, both domestically and internationally, and primarily working with the Food and Drug Administration, which is really one of our primary regulatory agencies. I spend a lot of time focusing on those issues that impact there. Good example, having to testify on Capitol Hill on medical liability reform. So these are issues that I will stand in for the Secretary when he cannot fulfill those obligations. I'll do that often as well. Today would be a great example. We've been dealing with issues ranging from bioterrorism preparedness, addressing food safety issues, to meeting with hospital representatives coming in to talk about what they're doing to prepare at hospitals, for example, in the event that we would have any hazard that would have to be addressed. And so this is sort of a typical day that no 2 days are alike, but one thing that is constant, the work.
Sounds great. Now, how did you get here? Tell us about your career.
Interesting path. Immediately prior to as the Deputy Secretary, I was formerly the Secretary of Health and Human Resources Resources for the Commonwealth of Virginia, where I manage 13 agencies that are very similar in scope and issues, both on the health side and the human service side for the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I did that for the last 3.5 years prior to coming to Washington to serve in this capacity. Prior to that, I was worked in the Attorney General's office in Virginia as both the counsel to the Attorney General and then later as the Deputy Attorney General for the Civil Litigation Division, where I oversaw the litigation on behalf of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And before then, I worked on, had my career goes back a little ways to working on Capitol Hill, both as a staff member on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, to working in areas of working in the private sector, in law firm. I'm a lawyer by profession, where I worked on numerous issues ranging from litigation issues to government relations issues to international affairs issues. So it has been a broad portfolio that brought me to where I am today. And just it's just a privilege and honor to serve in this administration on issues that really impact people every day. And so I'm very passionate about that and love what I do every day.
You worked around the health issues at both the state level and now the federal level. How would you compare and contrast the two different jobs?
That's an excellent question. I think that the difference is really the magnitude. The issues at the state level, we spend much of our time, unfortunately, having to battle the federal government and getting them to understand how 50 states are all different. And our issues, while we look at health in very much the same way, how states approach them is a very different issue. And so therefore, as a state official, I spent a lot of time managing the day-to-day activities that were impacting people directly. In this capacity, my job, while I'm the chief operating officer and looking at operations, bring a very unique perspective. The president and Secretary Thompson, both being governors, understand the important partnership that needs to exist between federal agencies and the federal government and states and state agencies and government. And we have brought a very unique blend of that to work in the department of how we can partner with states rather than dictate to states in terms of improving the quality of health care and the and delivery of services to those in need of health care and human services. So it's really been a great fit coming from the state to the federal government in that regard, that I think I bring a certain set of skills of having seen it on both ends.
How about comparing the different management styles or skills you use in both jobs? Were they the same or have they
pretty much the same? I probably say, it to be very frank, I think probably the greatest skill that you bring to a job like this is communications. It's so important that when you have a large organization such as HHS, and just the numbers don't belie the size of the department. We have 65,000 employees, but our budget is in fiscal year 03 this year was $503 billion. Our proposed budget for fiscal year 2004 is $529 billion. If you put that into context, if our department were a country, we would be the fifth largest country in the world based upon that budget. So we do have a broad impact. And when you look at that, you've got to have not only the ability to know what's going on throughout the department, but you need to have processes in place so that you can manage such a mammoth organization. And that's what we have spent a lot of time on as a department, senior leadership in the department, bringing that those processes and hiring the best skilled people to run and manage the program. So I think those are the skills that you kind of learned. I learned at the state level, starting small. I had 17,000 employees, and I forget the size of the budget. It was nowhere near in this regard. But learning that at that level prepared me for what I had to come here to undertake. And the biggest challenge in my job is getting people to communicate across silos. I love to call silos because we really do exist in silos in government. We have 300-plus programs. And if our programs are not speaking to each other on common issues that they're all working on, then we're not serving the taxpayers nor the people that we're charged to serve in these programs. And so those are the skills of learning to identify the problems, getting the team together to bring about the solutions, and then driving those solutions through to the end so that you see across the finish line. That is what the task of, I think, is a good manager is and a good leader in an organization this size.
Well, tell us some of your tricks. How do you get groups to communicate across the silo?
Well, some of the things that we have done at the department is very early on. Secretary Thompson had a vision of having HHS be one department, one HHS. Again, we have facilities, we have staff, we have programs scattered throughout the country. And under the prior administration, it was very decentralized. Decision making was done at the farthest away from the central office. We have brought and re-centralized our activities for the purpose of trying to get a common theme, a common message, so that we can move across this. My task is I bring people together. I spend a lot of time in meetings with senior management and hear out the issues where they're working on issues. And when I hear that they're not working together or one agency hasn't consulted with the other agency about something that both are working on, then that tells me there's a problem. And my job is to drive that home. Okay, when are you going to get together and how are you going to work this out and bring that plan back to me so that I can present it to the secretary to ensure that we're collaborating, that we're communicating, and that we're solving and tackling problems together, again, with the mind of serving the customer and not serving the convenience of government employees.
That's a good stopping point. We have to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Claude Allen of HHS. What's the department doing to combat bioterrorism? We'll ask Claude when the Business of Government Hour returns.